It has been a very exciting last few days. I would argue the last few days have been more exciting for the New York Giants and the Jets to a degree than the previous 18 weeks of garbage football. The Giants are full on their coaching search. There are a couple of available names that became available over the last 72 hours. Kevin Stefanski, John Harbaugh. Things are heating up. So let's break it all down with a guy with as much insight as anybody, the great Connor Hughes. Does a fine job for SNY. Connor, Sean Morash, Evan Roberts, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Excellent. So when do they hire John Harbaugh? Do they do it by the end of tomorrow? Like, how quickly are they going to pull this off?
Well, they still have to go through the whole process. And I don't necessarily mean the process with Harbaugh. I think if they could have the way that they wanted, yeah, they would probably hire him just about on the spot. But they still have to go through the Rooney Rule process and go through the multiple in-person interviews with minorities and things of that nature. So this is going to take time, but make no doubt about it. I mean, he seems to be the guy that they want from everything I've heard.
Now, Connor, when it comes to Joe Shane and John Harbaugh, I know there's varying reports out there that that wouldn't be a deterrent. Do you think internally Joe Shane is really going to push harder for a guy like Stefanski because he's worried about his own job with the John Harbaugh coming in?
That is the thing. That's such a great question, Sean, because I think that's what fascinates me the most, because I dug on this, and it was once Harbaugh was let go and you knew the Giants were going to be interested in it, and I made calls to – I've been fortunate enough to be around enough people now that have worked with Harbaugh or know Harbaugh, and I've heard conflicting things. You know, some people told me, no way in heck he's going to want to work with Joe Shane. Other people told me, no, there's going to be no way it wouldn't be a deterrent at all. He would absolutely take it. So I've heard conflicting things about it. What I fall back on is that if you're Joe Shane and you are the one who is leading this search, and for all intents and purposes seems to be the guy that is the front man for this search and doing all of the work and in these interviews and taking guys out to dinner and all that stuff, why would you even be entertaining someone if you had a fear that he's going to come in and immediately boot you out? I mean, again, that's not a source thing. That's just me falling back on logic. I can't imagine he would do that. I mean, I could see this being a one-year relationship potentially, and then if it doesn't work, Shane moves on and the Giants move forward with Harbaugh. I don't necessarily know, but I don't think that this will be Shane saying, hey, we need to go with Stefanski instead of Harbaugh, trying to save his own. You know what? Because at the end of the day, when you compare the resumes and you compare the type of coach Harbaugh is, there's a reason why teams with coaches are calling about him, let alone the Giants not doing everything they can to try to get him.
So on that note, unfortunately, you've been here for plenty of coaching changes in the New York locals. Is there ever going to be a point in time where John Harbaugh is in a room with people involved with the Giants that Joe Shane is also not in the same room at the same time?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I guess you're talking like if this gets to an interview point where you know, they say, okay, you know, it's just the Tish or it's just Mara or whoever. I don't know.
Just because if John doesn't want to work with Joe, it's very hard to say that with Joe in the room. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. Look, I think here's the thing. If you hire somebody like Kevin Stefanski, or you hire somebody like Mike McCarthy, or you hire one of these coordinating guys, which, you know, whether it's Shula or Minter, guys who have absolutely resumes that are deserving of head coaching consideration and potentially head coaching jobs, Sean, these are guys that are going to get jobs. And when they are in there, it's going to be, okay, you're the head coach. That's the general manager. You're going to have your role. General manager's going to have your role. Collaborative, working together, but it's going to be one and one. You know what I mean? It's going to be one over here, one over there. When you bring in somebody like Harbaugh, it's immediately his show. It's his. And I wouldn't say it's neutering Joe Shane's power in any way, shape, or form. He's still going to be controlling the draft. But if you're going by the quote-unquote final say, almost comparing it in a way to what the Jets right now have with Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, Aaron Glenn has final say on everything. Darren Mooji is still the general manager. He's making the draft picks. But the final say and the main voice of the deciding factor, if it's a 50-50 vote, it's going to be Aaron Glenn. That's the case when you hire somebody like Harbaugh. He becomes the extra vote. His voice carries more weight when you're somebody who is of his stature and has accomplished what he's accomplished.
You brought up the J word, the Jets.
Yeah.
I am a supporter of Aaron Glenn coming back for a second season, but when John Harbaugh became available, my thought was, this is the guy we were waiting for. This is the culture changer. This is everything the Jet fan has dreamt of, really, since Rex was gone. Like, this is the guy that can change everything.
Yep.
Is Woody Johnson at all using any back channels to just get a sense if John Harbaugh would have interest in being the savior for the New York Jets?
I look, if Woody's making his own calls and sending his own text and telling nobody, I mean, look, back in week two, was it? I mean, or before, I'm sorry, not week two, but I found out about it week two. Before Micah Parsons was traded, it was Woody and Jerry had a conversation about trading for Parsons. So, I mean, yeah, I don't have Woody's phone. I have no idea if he sent a text or called somebody just off doing his own thing. But I can tell you that I looked into this yesterday and I did some digging on it. And what I was told was that the Jets have no interest, basically, in Harbaugh, that they are fully and completely committed to Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, and they are moving forward with Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, and they're very excited for the 2026 season. They are not pursuing Harbaugh. They're not doing what the Dolphins are doing right now with Mike McDaniel under contract. It's nothing like that. They are committed to Aaron Glenn. And look, Evan, I agree with you. I mean, it's funny because last year's coaching cycle, there were two names out there that were pretty much the no doubt bona fide. These guys are as slam dunk hires as you can possibly imagine. And it was the guy who's been there and done that, and it was Mike Vrabel. And on the coordinating ranks, it was Ben Johnson. Those are the two guys that were like, oh, A+, A++ hires. This cycle, there wasn't that guy. So the Jets could kind of always fall back on like, well, it's not like, you know, we hired Aaron and we're not, well, look, who else would we get that's better? Harbaugh is the domino that fell that changed everything, because Harbaugh is now on that Vrabel level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is that type of a guy. But no, the Jets are completely and totally committed to Aaron Glenn.
I guess that's noble of them, but I would be seedier than that. Now, that's just me. I mean, because, and no offense to Glenn, because I've been fighting with Jet fans about keeping him for a second season, but this feels like a game changer. It feels like this is where I would pivot off of that, and it doesn't feel like the Jets feel the same way, which is...
I wouldn't say... here's the thing, though, is that there's just so many other things that would need to happen before, and this, again, this is not reporting or sourcing, but like this hypothetical world where Harbaugh becomes the Jets coach, there's so many things that need to happen, because the Jets can't just fire Aaron Glenn and hire Harbaugh. They would have to fire Aaron Glenn, then go through the same interview process of doing the Rooney rule and interviewing these guys and doing that. And there's also no guarantee that something doesn't happen last second where, hey, say the Giants come in with $10 million more a year, hypothetically, to get Harbaugh. And suddenly Harbaugh's like, yeah, you know what? I did want the Jets, but now I don't. You know, like it's not this Madden game where it's just, oh, there's Harbaugh, let me fire this coach and hire the next one. You know what I mean? There's like so much that needs to happen there that it would be such a risk and potentially have so much blowback on their face of badness that it makes sense why they're moving forward for at least this year with Aaron Glenn.
Now, Connor, you referenced like that process that you would go through, and obviously the Giants are going through that process right now. So when it comes to flying Kevin Stefanski in and he meets and has dinner with the Giants right away, how much of a game of like chance do you think the Giants are playing here? Meeting with Stefanski right away, going through some of the couple of interviews. If Harbaugh wants to wait this out 2 weeks, weigh all the options. Do you think there's a scenario where the Giants could completely fumble this and Stefanski says, forget this, I'm taking the Falcon job, and they lose out on Harbaugh and him?
I don't think they lose out on both. No, I don't think they lose out on both those guys. I think they'll probably have either Harbaugh or Stefanski as their head coach. I do. And the difference here from other head coaching circles or other head coaching cycles that I've covered is that the Giants are the best option out there. I mean, the Ravens now, I guess you could throw them in there because they have Lamar, but they're going to be looking for a very specific candidate. So of the other, because again, Harbaugh is not going back to the Ravens, of the coaches that are available, the Giants are the number one. I mean, you're going to have, I know the cap space doesn't look so robust, but the contracts that the Giants have done are structured in a way that they can very easily create more cap space. They have a very high draft pick. They have an ownership that has proven to be, I know they've had the turmoil yet, but you know it's an ownership that wants to win. And there is something to, I know it hasn't been over the last 20 years or so, or the last 15 years or so, but there is something to this being the Giants franchise. Like, that carries weight. It's a desirable job and probably the best vacancy that's out there. So, no, I don't think this is going to be something where they do this dance with Harbaugh and over the last second, like, Harbaugh burns them to go to somebody else. I think the Giants are going to have a pretty good idea pretty soon if they're going to get Harbaugh or not. And then if they go through all the little processes that they have to do before the hiring becomes official, okay, but they're going to know. And ultimately, I think they have one of those two guys as this team's head coach.
We're talking to Connor Hughes of SNY. So for most people, not everybody, it's about power and it's about money. Those are usually the two very important factors. So let's start with power. We talked earlier about Joe Shane, if he'd be a hindrance or not. And Sean brought up the question like, hey, does John Harbaugh ever get to talk to ownership with Joe Shane not in the room? Assuming he does, and John Harbaugh says, I don't want Joe Shane, get rid of him. Do you get a sense that Giant ownership would acquiesce to someone like John Harbaugh and say, you know what, we will fire Joe Shane for you if you're willing to take the job?
If they were going to do it for anyone, I mean, on this coaching cycle, it'd be Harbaugh. I mean, they're not going to do that for Kevin Stefanski.
Sure.
They're not going to do that for Minter. I mean, if somebody was going to do that, yeah, I mean, I think that they would have to consider it. I mean, look, this is a guy that, and I've been given no indication that that would happen or that they would want. Like, again, this is just thinking at everything the Giants want in a head coach is Harbaugh.
No doubt.
If you go through, and I remember when Daboll got fired and I made some calls to people over in that building and basically said, what are you looking for in your next guy? They basically read John Harbaugh's resume before anyone even knew Harbaugh was going to be available. It's somebody who has, who is a proven winner, somebody who has success late in games. I know we can obviously joke about the way that it's gone the last couple of years, but whether it's the Mark Andrews drop or the Lamar Jackson throwing a double coverage or a missed field goal, I mean, that's not, it's a little bit different than the fourth quarter collapses the Giants have had. That's a different sort of story. But a proven winner, somebody from a successful organization, someone who's won the big game, who's been good in crunch time, who's developed quarterbacks, who's had success with different types of regimes, because the Ravens were an elite-level team with Joe Flacco and Harbaugh. Then they lost Flacco and got Lamar Jackson. They're still the elite-level guy, someone who can develop talent and set a culture and be the leader of men. It's Harbaugh. So it is everything the Giants are looking for is this guy. And from everything I've heard, it's a little bit of a reciprocation there that Harbaugh also wants the Giants. So I think it's a match made in heaven. And if he did come through and say that, I think that it would be something the Giants ownership would have to consider. But it would also be something a little bit here on Harbaugh when, again, the guy leading the search is Joe Shane. He's the one who's saying, hey, we need to talk to Harbaugh. We're the one who needs to bring him in. He's so good. And then for Harbaugh to be like, hey, get out of here, buddy.
So, yeah.
It would be, again, I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I don't know if it is. Again, I've heard conflicting things about it from people who know Harbaugh and have worked with him before. But it would probably be something they'd have to at least think about.
The other thing I'd wonder about, because I think we all agree that if you took a look at the list, you mentioned it earlier, of available coaching jobs, the Giants are towards the top of the list. The Ravens are up there, but they're NA for this because they fired John. But that list could also change. Like, if Buffalo gets knocked off, they fire Sean McDermott? The Eagle one is fascinating, and I know Art Stapleton tweeted it last night. I give him the credit for kind of putting it out there. But he has a history in Philly. He was there for a decade. Like, could the Eagles be this looming threat for John where ultimately, if that's a vacancy, his preference would be Philly over the Giants?
God, could you imagine, like, a coach who wins a Super Bowl, who has taken his team to the playoffs every single year that he's been there, already been to two Super Bowls, won one, won the division this year, has a home playoff game. What'd they win, 11, 12 games? I guess 11 because they didn't play their starters against the Commanders.
Oh, who's counting, Connor?
Fired. I mean, that would be wild. I mean, look, I thought too, when it's funny, I'm in a group chat with the other Giants writers like Pat Duggan and Dunleavy and those guys. And it was mentioned in there, too. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then I saw Art tweet it. I was like, what are we doing? Like, what? But yeah, I think that would be a wild one. The one to keep an eye, I would think more so than Philly, would be the Bills. That would be the one because there's been murmurs and rumblings about does Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, what is that relationship actually like? They haven't, they've been on the doorstep of the team that many believe is going to be a Super Bowl team the last 6-7 years since they've had Josh Allen. Have never done it. You wonder if McDermott's just kind of run his course there, get somebody else in there, and Harbaugh would certainly be that guy. But that would probably be the one that I would keep an eye on more so than Philly. But you're right. You can never rule anything out with the Eagles. You really can. The one thing about that team, and I joke about this all the time, they have the dysfunction and the drama of like a 2 or 3 win football team. But they are so damn talented because of Howie Roseman that they win 12 and 11 games every single year. It's amazing. Like it's just ridiculous what they go through over there that – you can't rule it out, but I'd say Buffalo is the one to really circle. Duggan was actually the one that pointed that out first. They're the ones to keep that circled.
Now, you mentioned a little while ago how like the Giants are the most desirable job. We keep getting that hammered down our throats. And obviously, Giants fans everywhere, you hear the name John Harbaugh, you're going to like drool over it. The expectations with this roster, as much as people have knocked Joe Shane, if the Giants were to name John Harbaugh the next 2 weeks a head coach, do you think that immediately the expectation becomes playoffs next year?
Playoffs. I need to see what they do in the all. Not with this roster. No, I mean, I think if you put John Harbaugh on this team and you tell me that Malik Nabers is going to be healthy for 12 games, I think that the Giants are a team that could absolutely be right around the 7-win mark. I mean, I know that's not Oof. Like great news, but so, I mean, that's just baseline. Like baseline of what we saw. Like thinking about the team that what we saw last year And if you're like, okay, add Harbaugh, add a healthy Malik Nabers, you still had a rookie in Jackson Dart, they're probably sitting around 7 or 8 wins. I do think that, because he's going to flip some of those close games. I think he's going to have them more well-prepared. He's a better manager than Kafka, obviously, and I think he's going to get the guys playing harder than what the Giants were at points this year. They still need a lot of pieces on this team. I mean, they need to figure out that defense. You like the talent, but still, I mean, the cornerbacking unit needs some help. I think the safety unit still needs some help. They need some help on the offensive line still. It was the best it's been, but you wonder when the age is going to catch up with them. Like, how much longer can you squeeze the juice out of Greg Van Roten?
So that,
you know, how much longer can you stick with JM? I mean, there's pieces there that they still need, but they would absolutely be a team that's around 7. If they have a good offseason, good draft, you could see them being 9 or 10 wins. I don't think that's asinine with Harbaugh. If you're look at Harbaugh's career.
I mean,
all he does is win. That's what I go back to. All he does is win.
Well, the reason I asked that question was kind of a setup to say this. If the baseline is 7 wins from hiring a John Harbaugh with this roster in year 5, why the hell is Joe Shane still here?
Well, that's the beauty of it all. I mean, that's the debate that we can have until we're blue in the face. And look, you can build. Here's the thing that I keep telling people is you can build the argument that they needed to blow this whole thing up and turn around and have a front office of, you know, run by Chad Alexander. And then he comes in and brings in John Harbaugh. You know, that's your front office, is you have the new GM and Chad, and then you have Harbaugh, and that's what you've got. Like, you can make that argument. But at the end of the day, Joe Shane has the support of ownership. He has the support of Tim McDonald. He has the support of others within that building, and they believe in him. I mean, so what you're saying, Sean, makes sense. And when Duggan, like I saw Duggan's column, like every argument that you can make sense. Like, there is a valid argument to start this over. Like, it's out there, but ultimately this is what the team believes, and our opinions don't matter. I mean, these are the guys who own the team. So they're the only opinions that matter, and this is what they believe. So they're willing to stick with them now, or at least as it's currently stated.
Talking to Connor Hughes of SNY, what was your biggest takeaway from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mougi yesterday?
They have a plan. they have a plan. No, I think they're going to be very aggressive this offseason. I think this is going to be you know Woody as well as I do. He's not happy with this. And I know he's going to say the right things, but Woody's patient until he's not. And Aaron Glenn knows that, and Darren Mougi knows that, and everybody over in that Jets building knows that. So he's willing to stick to the process and trust the process and do all this stuff. Eventually, he's going to say, show me the wins. Show me we're actually headed in the right direction. And he was not okay with the way that they were embarrassed the last 5 weeks of the season. He is not okay with them being a laughingstock. And I can tell you 110%, he's going to turn the heat up on Glenn and Mougi if the Giants end up getting Harbaugh. Like, you know how that works. Like, you know the Giants-Jets dynamic, and we've seen it over times where how the Jets react when the Giants win a Super Bowl, or what, you know, how the Tim Tebow effect was the reaction of the 2011 one. So he is going to look around, and especially if the Giants get Harbaugh and start winning, that's going to turn it up even more for the Jets. So I think this is going to be something this offseason where you see them be very aggressive in free agency. They're going to have a significant budget. I know that. It's not like it's going to be tight like it's been before. They're going to have their budget. They're going to do everything they can to get their quarterback, and they're going to try to build a team that is at the minimum, a team that is competing and competitive. Competing for the playoffs, I'm saying that, but they are a competitive football team, which they were not this year.
They talked about uncovering every stone to find a quarterback. I think the odds are likelier than not that they're just going to take one at number two, whether it's Dante Moore or somehow Fernando Mendoza falls. Do you think that if stars like Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson become available, that they're going to be super aggressive in that route as well?
I think they'll explore it. I think the Kyler Murray one would be something they'd explore more than, because Lamar, now that Harbaugh is gone, Lamar's not going anywhere. So you can cross that one off. And Joe Burrow, I don't see Joe Burrow saying, trade me from the Bengals and all the crap I was dealing with there to, hey, send me over to the Jets. Like, I don't see that happening at all. Like he would, I don't see that happening. But Kyler Murray, I could see that being a possibility paired with a rookie. Like, say, for whatever reason, the Jets, say Dante Moore doesn't come out, or for whatever reason, the Jets are like, whoa, red flag, we don't like this guy.
Right.
I could see them going the trade for Kyler Murray and then draft somebody with that Colts pick, whether it's Simpson or somebody else that ends up popping up here during the pre-draft process as the Jackson Dart of this year's draft, drafting him there and then having Kyler Murray start before you eventually turn it over. I could see that happening. I don't think they'll be uber aggressive in something along like the Lamar route or the Burrow route, though.
2 days after Brian Daboll was fired, we had you on. And I said, look, you were very good at this last year with predicting Aaron Glenn to be the head coach. And I said, I'll put you on the spot. I know it's real early. Who's going to be the Giant coach? And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember what you said? Because it's pretty damn impressive.
Did I say Stefanski?
You said Stefanski. Yeah. So my question is, you could stick with it because he's, I mean, obviously a legitimate candidate. Are you ready to say, yeah, I was close, but it's going to be John Harbaugh?
Yeah, I didn't think Harbaugh was getting fired, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see that happening. I thought the Ravens, I saw that Ravens team, thought they were going to get hot and make the playoffs. They probably should have, and he would still be this team's coach. And then Tomlin would be doing TV somewhere. But I think I'm going to say it's going to be Harbaugh. There are so many signs right now pointing to him with the Giants, how much they want him. I've heard he wants him too. So it seems like that's going to get done. And it's just a matter of how everything else around Harbaugh is going to work. Does he want to keep Shane? Does he want his own guy? What's going to go on there? But I'll say that I think it's going to be Harbaugh.
I'm going to give you two players real quick. Breece Hall, Dexter Lawrence. Who's most likely to not be in New York next year?
I think they both will be, but Dexter is more likely. The Jets made it pretty. That was the other thing, Evan, is that in that press conference, the Jets made it pretty clear they're going to keep Breece.
I don't know how.
Like, I think they'll probably try to just give him like a 3-year contract with $11 million a year. But if not, it'll probably be they'll do the transition tag or the franchise tag just to keep him. I mean, they made it clear that, you know, they want to keep good players, and Breece is a good player. So I think Breece is going to be back on the Jets next year. And Dexter is an interesting one because if he doesn't fit in with what some of these guys, the new staff wants, then he has a tradable contract. So I could see that. I could see him being on the move.
Connor, great stuff. We always appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Connor Hughes, SNY, the latest on the New York Giants. He said it, and I think Giant fans get excited. John Harbaugh is going to be your next head coach. All signs are pointing there. There is a report. Who had it first? My friends at Giants Insider will give them the credit that John's going to interview on Thursday. That's what they're reporting.
Oh, man. Thursday's tomorrow.
Thursday's tomorrow. Yeah, isn't Stefanski today?
Yeah, so the first interview Stefanski took was Giants. That would mean the first interview Harbaugh's taken is the Giants.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So this could move very quickly to the point where they're not patient, which I suggested earlier. You're going to get John Harbaugh. How you feel over there?
After all the crap we have been put through as fans.
Are you going to cry?
I'm not going to cry yet. If you tell me that we stumbled accidentally maybe into a franchise quarterback and John Harbaugh is the head coach, Evan, I got news for you. We're going to see a parade in the middays.
Well, I already told you we are, so it's not going to be the Giants.
Well, you said this year.
You already predicted it.
Get the mittens out. February, outside, cold, let's go. This portion of the program is sponsored by Kalshi Trade on Anything.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And why, and I normally don't say this about regular season basketball, but why history tells you the New York Knicks really need to win tonight against the Clippers. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. How we doing on this fine Wednesday? I think they call it a hump day.
Hump day?
I haven't really figured out why. Why is it? Because it's in the middle of the week and you're getting over the hump. Is that what it is?
You get over the hump.
There you go. We're here till 2 o'clock. The Carton Show with Chris Big Mac McMonagle. By the way, I won that bet. And I don't have the audio to prove it. You could just trust me. On Monday, before the Carton Show debuted, we made a couple of predictions, like short-term predictions. One of which was Big Mac's first question for James Dolan, which we had fun with yesterday. The other one was, what will Craig call him? Mm-hmm. And on that first show on Monday, he called him Chris McMonagle, called him his full name, which Tiki guessed successfully. But yesterday I was listening, and Craig went to where I was, which is, he's Big Mac.
First thing I heard when I got in the call.
And so it is, and there's no wrong answer to it. You can call him whatever the hell you want. But we all made predictions on it, and I was successful in calling him Big Mac, or predicting that Craig would call him Big Mac. And I think you said he was going to come up with a new nickname for him, right?
Yeah, I figured, and I think I almost swayed you, because you were like, you know what, I could see Craig doing that.
Could see him doing it, yep.
But look, if Chris likes it, isn't that all that matters?
He doesn't care, Big Mac.
He doesn't care.
And I call him Big Mac, because I just went back to it.
He was always C-Mac forever.
He was C-Mac, and he became Big Mac when he did the show with us. And right. Craig started calling him that, then I started calling him that. So it's tough to not call someone by a name you always call them.
I agree.
It was like the day Sean walked in once. He was always Marash. That was his name, Marash. And then one day, very passingly, he's like, oh, by the way, it's Morash.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew everybody's mind because it's like, that's how you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. It's M-O-R-A-S-H. But people had a tough time with it. The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. The Knicks tonight are looking to stop their losing streak at the Garden when the 13-22 but red-hot Clippers, who have won 7 of their last 8, come sailing in. Kawhi Leonard looks like the Kawhi of old, averaging 28 points per game. James Harden, a game-time decision.
So here's the thing, and you're right. You got two teams heading in different directions despite the records. The Clippers have been red-hot recently. The Knicks have lost 4 in a row. If they lose tonight, it would be a 5th in a row, and they're about to embark on a 4-game West Coast trip. Now, it's not against the most difficult teams, but nevertheless, it is a West Coast trip, and we know about the Knicks' struggles on the road. Why is tonight important from a historical perspective for the New York Knicks? Why don't you ask me?
Evan, why is tonight historical from a Knicks perspective?
Well, they've lost 4 in a row. The all-time record of most consecutive losses in a season in which a team went on to win an NBA championship is 6.
Look at you.
So they're getting a little close to having to deal with NBA history.
This is why you're the best.
You find that interesting?
Because it is such an Evan Roberts stat to look up. Ooh, Knicks have lost how many in a row, man? Do I put a little worry in the Knicks fans? How many do you got to get
to? No. See, that's not. I'm not trying to put a worry in a Knicks fan. I'm giving them information.
No, it is valuable information. It is also useless, but that's why.
Well, is it useless? A lot of people look at history as a guide.
But here's the rule with history. There's a first time for everything.
No, you're right. But one thing I've stressed a lot with Tiki, and Joe taught this to me, so this is from Joe, and I've taken it with Craig and certainly with Tiki, which is when the Knicks lose game one at home, they never win a series.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's a first time for everything. Well, how'd that work out last year when they lost game one in Indiana?
No, you're right.
So
Aaron Boone, when they don't have home field advantage, they
Aaron
win a series.
Boone, which I have brought up endlessly. Right. So just for the record, the three teams that won an NBA championship when they had a 6-game losing streak, because it's happened 3 times.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All right.
Number one, the 1979 Seattle Supersonics, who went on to defeat the Bullets in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
The 2004 Detroit Pistons, who had a 6-game losing streak, beat our team
in the
semis that year in 7, and then destroyed the L.A. Lakers in the NBA Finals. And more recently, the 2011 Dallas Mavericks, who obviously beat the Heatles in the NBA Finals.
But those last two make sense. I can't speak to the Sonics one because they weren't like the greatest elite teams, but they were deep and made runs.
Would this concern you? Obviously, as an IBO in terms of... Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Now, look, I think you get to a certain point, you know, 8 games, 9 games, 10. Yeah, of course. Then it's like, well, what the hell is going on? You had an 1/8 of the season where you lost all these games in a row.
Do you have a follow-up question about history? Because I came prepared.
Okay, how many games in a row is the Knicks record?
No! How many games in a row, the most consecutive losses in a season in which you got to the NBA Finals?
Oh, okay, good question.
Just got there, because I think
Evan, how many games in a row can you lose and get to the NBA Finals as that happens?
So the all-time record for winning is 6. For just getting there is 7. So a little bit more wiggle room.
Ooh.
That happened one time by the Los Angeles Lakers in 91 before they got knocked off by the Chicago Bulls.
I'm gonna swerve you. If I'm a Knicks fan, I want to get to 8.
You want to break the history?
I want all the history in the world to come with this. Nobody believed in us when we lost 8 in a row. Pile it on.
I will make you this prediction. I know we've already done our year-long predictions, and I was thinking of using this on January 2nd as a year-long prediction, but I didn't think it was sexy enough. But I'll use it now because we are talking about it. The New York Knicks will have a playoff series this year in which they will lose game one at home and go on and win the series. They will break the snide.
I like that.
The Beningo snide, I like to call it, because he's the one who harps on
it.
And I've agreed with him, and I've brought it up endlessly, and you'll hear it again when the playoffs start. I think this is the year where they'll lose a game one. Maybe it's in the first round. It'll be against like an upstart team that barely made the playoffs after Michael Porter Jr. led them into the play-in tournament.
I like that.
I'm just joking. That's not happening. Lose a game one, and then they'll come back and win the next 4.
Now, you made Tiki Barber concede on a prediction he said, and then he ended up having to pull back his concession and had to wear an L. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Will you concede that if the Giants hire John Harbaugh, I'm already going to be right in my prediction for the year?
What was your prediction for the year?
That the New York Giants will win more games in October than the New York Mets?
No, because I don't want to count the Mets out. They're in the middle of the offseason.
Huh. There's a glimmer in your eye that damn it, he might be right.
Well, I never said your prediction was wrong. I said that you were trolling.
It wasn't a troll.
You were trolling the Mets.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trolling the Mets because I don't think they're making the playoffs. That's a troll job.
Yes.
I don't think Steve Cohen thinks they're making the playoffs.
Well, I disagree with that. I mean, he thinks they're going to put together a playoff team. Look, the offseason isn't done yet. I'm not happy about what's happened, but I can't judge them finally on January 7th.
Of course not.
Well, you are.
I, It's a prediction. You're Why are we making predictions?
But I wasn't disagreeing with it. I was saying you were trolling in the prediction.
All I asked is if you'd make a concession if they hired John
Harbaugh. I will not make a concession. No, I'm not going to make a concession that the Mets aren't going to make the playoffs and they're not going to win a playoff game or do anything like that on January 7th before I know who the freaking left fielder is. I mean, they will make moves. I'm not telling you I'm going to love the moves, but I have to at least be open-minded to it's not over yet. Let me make this clear. I hate the Met offseason so far. I despise it. But it's not over yet. When it's over, I'll give a firm answer.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's go to Bernie in Florida. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So, you know, I'm a decades-long Jets fan. My dad, 1969, takes me to see Jets Oakland and to go to the Super Bowl. Don Maynard's cast rolling right at me to catch that bomb from Namath. I'll never forget it. So I have that. Many Jets fans.
God bless you for that, by the way.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the great memories of my life.
I get
so
you.
After every season, after every game, I get the calls, the texts from my New York, New Jersey friends, where I lived most of my life. Why can't we win? Where's the problem? Why do coaches and players leave and do well soon after elsewhere? We don't particularly care for the owner. He's not a football guy. So is it in the front office, the scouting staff, the coaching? If you don't mind my saying, where's the rock?
Hiring the wrong people. It's a very simple answer. Hiring the wrong people. I don't think Woody Johnson is malicious. I don't think John Mara's been malicious. They have hired the wrong people. James Dolan, for years, hired the wrong people and trusted the wrong people. And then he got a little meddling, which has been the case with all three owners as well. And then finally, he hired the right person and now lets him do his thing. And so I think the answer to this, and that is an ownership issue. That's a Woody issue. But he has not hired the right people. And I hold out hope that as wrong as it feels right now, Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji are the right people. Rich in Brick, New Jersey. Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's going on, Evan? Hi, Sean. How are you doing today?
What's up, Rich? What's up?
Let's play a little game. You guys are Tisha Mara. I'm going to be John Harbaugh. You just got done interviewing me. I said, I'll come to you guys, but here's my condition. You got to get rid of Shane in order for this to work. What will you do?
Done. He's gone. I mean, you want to answer it? He's gone.
Get rid of Shane. If John Harbaugh showed up at my house and said, I'm going to agree to this deal if you divorce your wife, I'm divorcing her. Are you kidding me? You got to get rid of Joe Shane.
You're divorcing your wife?
Not really.
John Harbaugh?
I'm just showing you how. Can you lay a punctuation just lay out there?
How far would you go? Would you cut off a pinky?
For John Harbaugh, I'm not losing a limb.
Would you cut off a thumb?
Stop touching my body.
You're the one who said you'd divorce your wife. I mean, what do you want me to do?
I would do a lot of like Fear Factor disgusting things. I'm not cutting off a limb.
Would you take a... No, I'm not doing that. I had an idea, but it was dirty. I'll keep it to myself.
All right.
Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Yeah, I had to jump in, guys, on this decision with Harbaugh. Hey, real quick with the Knicks, I think they're in trouble, Ev. I really do. And I know you say I argue with my nephew, go season tickets. You know, Evan's a little tough on the Knicks. I said I disagree. I think he's very fair.
Thank you.
Two things I worry about. I think defensively, I don't know how you pick that up. And that's just not athletic. They're not. And everybody says when you get to the playoffs, it's a half court to a point. There was a lot of running in those games last year. And Cat is a big deficiency.
And I'll tell you one thing defensively that jumped out at me the other day. No, just real quick, the comment is Mikal got bullied by Cade Cunningham the other night. We didn't talk about that enough. I mean, and at a point where I'm screaming at the TV, hey, Mike Brown, can you get Mikal off Cade Cunningham? I mean, how many times can you watch Cade post him up and abuse him?
And I think the OG Bridges being a great defensive player, the real great defensive player is Mitch, and he's an liability at the end of the game. But with the Harbaugh thing, totally agree at this point. It's the safe choice. Harbaugh, I was on Saturday, Sean, with Big Blue, and I made my prediction was the loser of that team that game would be available. I don't like to make predictions and blow my own horn, but I really felt at that point that's what was going to happen. Harbaugh, more so than Tomlin, has been a major disappointment the last 8 years in the playoffs.
Yeah,
he just has.
But
he's
Richie,
had an MVP quarterback and a better defensive team, so.
Richie, you're not.
Yes.
But Richie, wouldn't you agree you're not available right now if you haven't been disappointing in some
way? Yeah, there's going to be a disappointment that makes a guy available. Now, I want to give Richie credit. I didn't hear him make that point that the loser of this game will be available. But one thing I was notified while I was on vacation is a point that Sean Morash made on Evan and Tiki while I was away. Take a listen to Sean Morash on December 23rd, right here on WFAN. How about that?
Thank you, Dan.
That's from Dan. Yes, he heard it because I was on vacation. I wasn't listening.
And that's why you work around the holidays around here. If I could.
So you can make a correct prediction?
No doubt about it.
So I actually did hear it. I don't want to be this jerk who's like, I wasn't listening to your show. I was. And I remember when talking about the split, you did bring up Lamar Jackson. And both you and Tiki said, I remember we brought this up to Evan a few weeks ago and he didn't want to trade for Lamar.
Correct.
Where I'm at now is a little bit different. I still have my concerns about Lamar Jackson. Like, I've got my concerns about what he is into his 30s, staying healthy, all of that. But I so don't trust the Jet coaching staff to develop a young quarterback that if he's available, I am pursuing him. I am.
That makes sense.
I think the Jets have a better chance of success under this administration building a good roster around the ready-made quarterback who's already developed than developing their own. They already have a good offensive line. They've got weapons on offense. Yep. Obviously, they got to rebuild the entire defense. We know, pick a DC, the whole thing. But if Lamar became available, and of course, the willingness and the want to play for the Jets, which doesn't seem high, I'd pursue a trade. Do I pursue Joe Burrow more? Yes, but I would pursue Lamar Jackson.
I'm proud of you. Unfortunately, I have a hard time thinking he's available now that Harbaugh is gone. It feels like they chose the quarterback.
No, I don't think he is. I'm just being honest with you because on that same show that we played a clip from, I remember you guys saying that about me.
Which is so funny because Lamar was trending in such a wrong direction until that fourth quarter on Sunday night when he seemingly made every big throw imaginable.
I know. It's crazy. Sammy's in New York. Hey, Sammy.
Yeah, hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Yeah, so I want to ask you a question. I'm 17, diehard Jets fan. My father's diehard. My grandfather's diehard. My father's diehard. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, you know, we've been diehard Jets fans for years.
Yes.
And I want to ask you a question. You know, I'm 17. I'm going through, going to the next stage of my life. I want to ask you if you think I should be dedicated to being a Jets fan. I want to ask you, depends on that. Yes or no answer. If your life is on the line, will the New York Jets make the playoffs in the next 5 years?
No. No.
Really?
I mean, how
can... 5 years, that could...
Sammy...
It's another rebuild by then.
You're right. And you asked two things, Sammy. Number one, should you remain loyal? Yes. You're 17 years old. You got more of your life left than most of us, which means there's a greater chance that things are going to turn around, that you're going to get to see success. But you also said, with your life on the line, in the next 5 years of the Jets making the playoffs, they haven't made the playoffs in a decade and a half.
Right.
And they've been through plenty of rebuilds and plenty of coaches. So I would be speaking in a Morashian blind faith way if I said on the radio, the answer is yes. And I think if you ask most Jet fans, their answer would be no because we've been so beaten. What would it be based on? It would be based on hope. That's all it'd be based on.
You need a sign that at least one of the two you figured out, which would be coach or quarterback. You have no sign of that right now with the Jets. You might have a sign of that in 9 months if whoever you draft ends up being good, but you can't say that right now. But hold on, real quickly.
Yes.
If you're 17 and you've survived this year's with the Jets, newsflash, you didn't waste any good years as a kid. You got to appreciate them more as an adult.
That's why I say stick with the team.
Yeah.
Connor, life on the line, which I hate. I don't even want to say that, but whatever. Life on the line, it's fake. It's not real. You think the Jets make the playoffs in the next 5 years?
Not a chance. They might not make the playoffs for the next 10 years.
Oh, man.
Because you keep Glenn for another year, then he's probably going to get fired. Maybe they win 5 games next year and they bring him back for a third year. Eventually, he's probably going to get fired. And they're nowhere close to having good enough players to go to the playoffs. It could be 10 years.
10 years. Sean Morash as an IFO. I want you to put the trolling away. IFO. Jets make the playoffs in the next 5 years?
Yes. Now, can I explain why real quickly?
Yeah, okay.
I just have this guttural feeling.
Yeah, guttural.
That Dante Moore is going to be taken number one overall. Mendoza is going to go two.
We're going to end up with Mendoza?
I have this guttural feeling. I really do.
So I said recently on the air to Tiki and to you, there's no shot Mendoza is not going number one. I still think he's going number one, but I read a report the other day, and I'm not even sure it's that accurate. I apologize. I didn't even write it down to give the proper credit. So you could tell me if it's real or not. That Brian Daboll really likes Dante Moore. And if Brian Daboll gets the OC job in Vegas, that could very well influence the decision that they make. And so that could obviously lead to a flip, assuming Moore comes out, between Mendoza and Moore. And I love Fernando Mendoza. Now, what do I know? I'm not a diehard college football fan. I don't want to lie about it. I've seen him play for, like, you know, a little bit of time, not a lot. But my early eyes, my naive eyes, my virgin college football eyes say I believe in the guy. I'd be excited if Fernando Mendoza is my quarterback. So that would add to the hope meter, but I'm not exactly confident that's going to happen.
Won't be with Aaron Glenn, though. I think Aaron Glenn will get fired. Year two, you'll hire a coach.
Okay. As long as I'm in the playoffs for the next 5 years.
I think you get there.
I don't really care who the head coach is. Let's go to Mike in Tinton Falls. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Evan, I'm worried about you with some of these takes here. You wouldn't take Nick Sirianni over Aaron Glenn. You want Kyler Murray to the Jets. Mike Tomlin's going to get traded to the Giants. So, I don't know. I'm worrying about you.
You want me to address all of them? I'm going to address one by one. You ready, Mike? Mm-hmm. Number one, the Kyler Murray thing is not fair to me. That's not what I've said. What I've said about Kyler Murray is that if he's released by Arizona and he's willing to compete with a young quarterback, I would bring him in. That is far different than what Connor Hughes said earlier this hour about the Jets bringing him in as the starting quarterback. I don't believe that opinion of Kyler Murray competing with a young quarterback is a crazy opinion at all. So you are not misquoting me, but misinterpreting me. Mm-hmm. I put that to the side. Number two, the Tomlin stuff. Like, let's see what happens over the weekend, but I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say it is not a guarantee Mike Tomlin comes back. And if the Steelers did try to organize a trade for him, I believe that the families have a close enough relationship where that can go down. What was the third one that was crazy?
Sirianni.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I had you there.
Yeah. Obviously, he has accomplished a lot in Philadelphia. I cannot besmirch his win-loss record and what he's accomplished. I just don't know. I don't know how much of it is the awesome roster that Howie Roseman's put together.
He's been at two Super Bowls and won one.
I did. You know what? I'll give our last caller this. That's a tough opinion.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Over Aaron Glenn?
Well, I'm not saying Aaron Glenn's better. I'd take
Big Dom over Aaron Glenn.
Great call, Connor.
See, I'm not saying I would take him over Aaron Glenn over Nick Sirianni. I'm saying I wouldn't blow up a one and done and rush to hire him. That's
You're
all I'm
nuts.
Saying.
You're nuts.
Isn't that a little bit different?
No, it's not.
What do Eagle fans think of Nick Sirianni?
Eagle fans are morons. Half of them like him, half of them hate him, half of them hate Jalen Hurts, half of them like them. They're idiots. They are the stupidest fan base on planet Earth. They suck.
Digital should cut that clip.
Go ahead, cut it, send it to IP. I don't care. They know they're morons.
They already know that?
Yeah. Sitting there with the Kelsey jerseys.
One last question for you.
Losers.
Okay. We get it. You hate Philadelphia.
Yeah.
As Art Stapleton, your dear friend, pointed out last night, John Harbaugh has a long history in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He was the special teams coach there and was employed there for a decade. If the Eagles lose and fire Sirianni and Harbaugh's like, hey, more ready-made roster, my history there, I'm going to Philadelphia. Does that cause you to not think about rooting for the Eagles over the weekend?
Does it cause me? I've already made my decision. I'm rooting for the Eagles every single week until Harbaugh is signed.
Well, you haven't announced that to us. Announce it to the radio audience. I didn't know that. Would you tell your wife secretly? Like pillow talk? The audience needs to know your opinion after you just trashed Philadelphia for 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I am making the announcement, and I think every Giant fan should join in this. I am rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles in every single playoff game until John Harbaugh has made a coaching decision to keep him as far away from the Eagles as possible. Let's go, Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
That last part, can you make sure that's cut and kept for us?
Ooh.
I'd like, yeah, ooh.
At least I'm willing to admit it. You wouldn't take Nick Sirianni over Aaron Glenn.
You guys caught me in something.
Hey, I caught, just like you thought you caught me earlier and you were dead wrong. You and Recco.
I think that's a very intelligent and mature opinion to have.
Thank you.
No,
thank
I do.
I've tried to grow up in the middays.
I think that our strong opinions on sports teams need to be couched when it benefits your team.
Right. Farm your own land.
I've always said that. You've got to put your team first. And I think that that opinion is you finally putting your team first over your vitriolic hate for the city of Philadelphia. And I respect that. I do that too. What? I need to hear that a lot. I do
kind of easy there. I still need to do a good job tomorrow.
I do that too, like with the Yankees and the Knicks. Like I gotta put my team first. If your team's gonna help my team,
absolutely,
then I'm gonna do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you missed any of the show, you can rewind it on the Odyssey app. You can download the Evan and Tiki podcast. Tiki's back tomorrow, and you're gonna want to tune in because unless his opinion changes, Tiki Barber prefers Kevin Stefanski over John Harbaugh. Find out why tomorrow at 2:00. I think that's all I have left to say.
Yeah.
The Carton Show with Craig Carton and Chris Big Mac McMonagle is next. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.